Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Gandhar Oil Refinery India Limited Q3 and 9 months FY26 earnings conference call hosted by MUFG Intime Private Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Ayushi Gupta from MUFG Intime Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Ms. Gupta.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I welcome you all to the Q3 and 9 months FY26 earnings conference call of Gandhar Oil Refinery India Limited. To discuss this quarter's business and financial performance, we have from the management Mr. Ashlesh Parekh, Joint Managing Director, and Mr. Inderjit Bhattacharya, CFO. Before we proceed with the call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking and may involve risk and uncertainties. For more details, kindly refer to the investor presentation and other filings that can be found on the company's website and on the stock exchange. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks, and then we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. First of all, good morning to everyone who is joining us on this call. I'm Ashlesh Parekh, Joint Managing Director of Gandhar Oil Refinery India Limited. I'm joined today by our CFO, Mr. Inderjit Bhattacharya. We appreciate your time and participation as we discuss our financial performance for the third quarter and the 9 months ending 31st December 2025. I'll begin by sharing our perspective on the operating environment and how our business has performed amidst the dynamic economic landscape. The global white oil market continues to exhibit steady structural-driven growth. Based on the recent industry estimates, the market was valued at approximately $3.6 billion in 2025 and is expected to be around $4.66 billion by 2034, expecting a CAGR of about almost 3% over 2025 to 2034 period. This growth is underpinned by the essential role of white oils in regulated and performance-sensitive applications, where consistency, safety, and compliance remain very critical. Regionally, Asia-Pacific remains the largest contributor to the global white oil demand, accounting to over 40% of the total consumption, supported by industrial expansion, rising healthcare usages, and growing personal care adoption. At the same time, developed markets continue to demand higher quality grades due to tighter regulations. This dynamic aligns well with Gandhar's policy and operating strengths and reinforces our position within the global white oil value chain. During the third quarter of FY26, Gandhar recorded a consolidated revenue of 1,167 crores, reflecting a healthy year-on-year improvement of 16% and quarter-on-quarter growth of 10%. For the nine-month period ended FY26, the total revenue stood at around 3,130 crores, demonstrating stable performance despite the challenging macroeconomic environment marked by pricing volatility and logistical disruptions. International markets continue to play a very important role in our overall performance, with overseas sales contributing to around 45% of the consolidated revenue during the nine-month period. This sustained contribution from global markets underscores the strength of our international customer base and reflects the steady progress we are making in expanding and deepening our global footprint across key geographies. With this, I would now like to hand over this call to our CFO, Mr. Inderjit Bhattacharya, who will take you through the financials in detail. Thank you once again, and over to you, Inderjit.
Thank you, Ashlesh, and good afternoon to all participants. Let me take you through the financial highlights for the third quarter and 9 months ended FY26. On a consolidated basis, revenue for Q3 FY26 stood at 1,167 crores, reflecting a sequential increase over Q2 FY26 and healthy year-on-year growth of 16% compared to Q3 FY25. For the 9 months ended FY26, consolidated revenue stood at 3,130 crores, supported by steady volumes and consistent demand across markets. EBITDA for Q3 FY26 was 59 crores. While this represents a moderation compared to the strong performance in Q2 FY26, it remains significantly higher on a year-on-year basis. For the 9-month period, EBITDA stood at 171 crores, underscoring the resilience of our operational performance. Profit after tax for Q3 FY26 was rupees 34 crores, compared to rupees 40 crores in Q2 FY26 and rupees 20 crores in Q3 FY25. For the 9 months ended FY26, PAT stood at rupees 100 crores, reflecting a strong improvement over the corresponding period last year. Our segmental revenue mix for 9 months FY26 remained well diversified, with PHPO contributing 50%, followed by lubricants at 26.8% and PIO at 9.5%. The manufacturing gross margin spread for Q3 FY26 stood at rupees 7,271 per KL, underscoring the strength of our manufacturing efficiency and disciplined operating execution. We remain focused on a prudent cash flow management and operational efficiency as we navigate a volatile global environment. With this, I conclude the financial review and would now be happy to take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rohit from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yeah.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So, sir, just three questions. One was, so if I look at the history of our company over the last 7-8 years, our operating margins have hovered between 2-3% to about 7-8%. And right now we're at about 5% in this quarter. So just from to understand, I understand our gross margins are pretty low. When you look at your business, what is the general operating margin that you would sort of say that this is a normal operating margin for a business? I know it can fluctuate a quarter here and there, but I'm just trying to understand on a normalized basis. How do you see?
So, by operating margins, we'll be talking about EBITDA. We're looking at EBITDA in excess of about 5-5.5% annually. And we expect it to keep going up from now. I mean, all other conditions, all other circumstances remaining the same.
And so, there are some other... some of your peers were also listed, and I was trying to sort of compare. So we are more focused on the personal care and healthcare segment. So any specific reason for that? And also if you can sort of comment on where the margins are better, where the customers are more sticky. There are other segments like transformer oil is there. Paraffin is there. So if you can maybe just explain what, if you can give an overview about these other segments and why we've chosen on the personal care segment.
Sure. See, Gandhar Oil is not only focused on PHPO as a product matrix, but we also are having other products in our portfolio, including the transformer oil, including the rubber processing oils, including the lubricants. The value share, across the value chain, if we discuss, around 50% of the total contribution is still from the PHPO sector, which is the personal care, healthcare, performance oil segment. The other businesses are also growing. PHPO as a business, obviously, last 1.5 to 2 years, obviously, the cosmetics and the pharmaceutical industry is not doing so well, because of the domestic consumption, we anticipate the consumption, to move up. After discussion with our, various FMCG customers, they are also anticipating the pickup in demand, post GST rate cut, post increasing liquidity, in the system. So we are highly hopeful that, the FMCG sector, will turn around very soon. Having said that, most sticky customers are in the PHPO business where, the entry to a customer is more than, 7 to 8 years of time frame. And, once we are there with the customer, we grow with the customer. That's what we have even experienced. And with, if you see the other businesses, it's more of a price-sensitive, price-driven business. For example, in transformer oil, it's purely a price-driven business. It's a tender business. You know, the margins are pretty low, and you know, even the debtors, even the collection from this segment is pretty high compared to the PHPO segment. So the focus will still be on the PHPO segment. Having said that, we are also, you know, not only dependent on our domestic customers, we are also dependent on our overseas business, which is also contributing to around 35-40% of the total revenue of the company. We are, you know, on verge of, you know, adding some new products also to the pipeline, and we are very hopeful that our EBITDA margins in the near future will definitely go up.
Got it. This question on the volatility of raw materials. So how does it work, sir, in terms of, because these are all crude oil derivatives. So base oil pricing, how does it work with your customers?
So see, base oil is a KRM, you know, for any of our product mix. Wherein, you know, we have term contracts with our suppliers, you know, for annual offtake of our base oil to service our customers. So with suppliers, we do have, you know, pricing formulas in place. With few of our select customers, you know, we do have price pass-through mechanism, you know, wherein changes in the raw material price, changes in the forex price are passed on to our customers. Only few of our core customers, you know, we have a pricing on every 15 days, every fortnight mechanism, wherein, you know, any change in the price, you know, is passed on to the customer on fortnight basis. Having said that, we have more than 4,000 plus set of customers, you know. So the repeat order is, from this customer is more than 75%.
Yeah. So like sticky customers, we have a history of about 70% of repeat customers for the last 3 to 4 years.
So you said that with few customers, we have pricing contracts, and with few customers, we have like a 15-day price change that happens every fortnight. We change the price. So what share would be where we have these pricing contracts where we'll have a formula and any change will sort of automatically get accommodated? What percentage of our revenue will be coming from these customers?
Around 35% of the business is on that price pass-through mechanism. The residuals are on the other mechanism.
Got it. And so this last question before I fall back in the queue. So if I look at your EBITDA this quarter, it improved both sequentially and YOY as well, which you explained. But in your presentation, you've given the per liter EBITDA also that has been broadly in the same range, but the improvement in EBITDA has been much more. So what has led to that? I mean, I see that other expenses are significantly reduced, both sequentially and YOY. So just if you can just explain what was that.
So obviously, you know, expense is one part of it. You know, we've been able to, you know, handle our finance cost effectively well, year on year, quarter on quarter. Over and above that, obviously, you know, we've been in a position, you know, to better sell our products and also efficient buying, you know, from our suppliers. So this has been, you know, a combination of various factors which has led to it.
The main driver for any change in EBITDA or even PAT is the gross margin of our products, because this represents practically 75-80% of the gross. So in 1% move here or there has an impact on the bottom lines. So that is why one of the main reasons is that we've done better on the gross margins.
Okay. And one thing was that are rising crude base oil prices beneficial for you, or a falling base oil pricing environment is beneficial for you? On a rule of thumb basis, whatever you've seen in the last 7-8 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult for me to, you know, give you a specific comment, because, you know, we don't play on the raw material price. Our focus is purely, you know, customer-driven attitude, wherein, you know, we focus on customers' requirement. And we have a lean inventory of around 40-45 days at the most. So, and whatever buying is there, you know, I mean, 80% of the product is leasehold, you know. So, really, I mean, unless in very exceptional situation, you know, when like crude goes up from $30 to $200 a barrel, or vice versa, it may impact. Otherwise, you know, if it is range bound, it's not a problem.
Good. Thank you. I'll fall back if I have more questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Mr. Ritesh Polaria from Giri Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot. So my question is, your manufacturing gross margin from your own presentation, it's like 12-quarter low. So the improvement would not be from this gross margin spread. It would be from other expenses. So if you can elaborate on what has led to fall in the other expenses, that would be very helpful for us.
Hello, just a minute. Let me knock a room over it. So, if you see quarter on quarter, or if you are going to see year on year, the major improvement has happened on other expenses, which is reduced from 52 crores in 31-12-24 to 37 crores this year. Even finance cost has slightly improved. Employee cost has gone up, but the major improvement is on account of other expenses, where the major component would be freight.
And where do you see freight now? Is it stable or again it's inching up from this geopolitical situation?
So currently the freight rates are pretty stable and there is no such unexpected hike that we experienced, previous quarter. And just to add, the gross margin in quarter three, in number term, on a standalone basis, for example, has improved from 18 crores in FY25 quarter 3 to 36.3 crores in FY26 quarter 3. So obviously there has been an increase in the overall performance of the company. So it's just not only, the expense reduction, but obviously increasing the performance as well.
Yeah, but your per liter gross margin is about 12-quarter low. In fact, if we see from IPO times, it used to be hovering at 10,000 rupees per kiloliter. Now it's about 7,200. So is it because of the range bound oil prices, or is there any other reason, like increased competition or anything you can elaborate on that?
Yeah, I mean, if you see pre-IPO, around IPO, obviously these are all post-COVID numbers and all that stuff, But, post that, if you see last 2 years, majority of chemicals, specialty chemicals, across the industry there has been, a revision in the profitability quarter-on-quarter. We have been also, part of the same cycle. But we tried our level best, to maneuver around and, ensure that, the margins of the companies are protected and, and in fact, now we started improving. If you see, last 3 quarters, compared to previous year, our profitability has increased. Our gross margin also has substantially increased.
Also, if you can guide us on current ruling white oil prices and where do you see it is going?
So, can you repeat your question? You are asking about...
If you can comment on the current ruling white oil prices during the month of January, and where do you see it going?
January.
So I mean, it's range bound around say 78 to 80,000 rupees per metric ton.
Okay.
And we ended.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
So we anticipate the price to be, little bit going up, based on the raw material increase and the forex increase.
Sure. Also, if you can comment on your CapEx, I think there is some delay from the whatever you envisaged in the IPO, or is it on time frame? If you can quickly take us through that.
Delay in the CapEx?
I think in the IPO, whatever their plans, is there any delay or all your capital expenditure?
All the money has been expended and all the capex has been put into place. All the other objects have been met.
Okay.
Okay. So 6 lakh liter is your now 6 lakh kiloliter is your capacity, which will be there for some time now, right?
In the three plants, yes.
Okay. And what will be the utilization for the Sharjah?
Sharjah is currently around 70-72%.
Sir, India has about almost optimum utilization, but Sharjah is a bit low. Is there any
So Sharjah is basically a new plant. I mean, it got operationalized sometime in 2017 or 2018. Okay. Now, as Ashish Bhai had explained, getting onboarded with these marquee names or the big players takes nothing less than 6 to 7 years. So that process is on. Second is, even we at the raw material supplies for Sharjah are also in the process of being set up. So it will take another 2-2.5 years for Sharjah to come online or close to the 90-95% this thing. Till then, this is the normal course of business. The customer accreditation is happening. I mean, accreditation by the customers is happening and the raw material lines are being set up.
Sure, sir. Also, if you is there any other expansion plans you are currently going through, or right now it's a status quo?
It's difficult for us to comment, but obviously, as you have seen during the board meeting, obviously the resolutions are now available publicly. We purchased some. We are planning to purchase some additional piece of land in both our facilities, you know, for expansion. So maybe we'll be, you know, in a position to give you more clarity in maybe a quarter to come as well. With the amount of expansion planned and the quantity and the value of CapEx plan.
And in the CapEx, you will have the regular maintenance CapEx, debottling CapEx, that will happen. And some additional tanks have been put up, so I mean, storage.
So, but the new CapEx will definitely be, you know, coming by maybe end of this year or next year at the moment.
Sure. And final last question, what's the status of this Vadhavan Port project for you? There was like a non-binding MOU, but if you can give us some idea what's happening over on that side.
See, the tenders have still not been floated, you know, by the government as yet. So we are persuading them, and as soon as we have some information which we need to pass on to our shareholders, definitely we'll be doing so.
And what kind of investments would be that? Is it for the chemical storage side, or is it from your own just existing operation side?
It will be a combination of both.
Okay. Yeah. That's all from my side. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Mr. Bhavesh Patel from Patel Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on great set of numbers. The turnaround is visible and hoping for better numbers going ahead. Also, felt great to get the dividend of 75 paisa. Appreciate especially the comment in terms of continuity of quarterly conference call based on the input in last call. So thank you, Ashlesh Bhai, on that. And I like the details provided by both Ashlesh Bhai as well as Indrajit. I have following couple of questions. Number one, our company reported record-breaking revenue this quarter, so congratulations on that. Yet the manufacturing gross margin spread, which is INR per kiloliter, contracted from 8662 to 7271. Can you please explain this, and do we expect this situation to be continued?
So, This is basically an impact of the raw material prices also, and the fact that what Ashish Bhai mentioned, that FMCG and pharma, with our regular customers, we've not been able to get the prices which we were getting earlier. So this is the main reasons why the gross margins has been slightly impacted. Going forward, yes, the whole of this year we've been getting in excess of 7.5 rupees per liter. Going forward, we would like it to be close to 8, but it should stay around 7.8-7.9 rupees per liter.
All right. Thank you, Indrajit, on that. The next question is, the board, the meeting came out, right, in terms of minutes. It said approved the purchase of 453 decimals of land adjacent to your current factory. Now, I really don't understand what is this 453 decimals. Is it in terms of like, you know, acres or square meters? And where have you purchased this land? At Taloja, Silvassa, I mean, which place?
So, these are lands being purchased at both of our units at Silvassa and Taloja, adjacent to our existing factory. Now, as regards the decimals, we'll get back to you in the course of this call itself. What does decimal mean? I don't know if it's vultas or 0.4853 acres. I'll just get back to you on that.
Yes, please. That will be appreciated. So, we are saying we are buying at both the lands, both the plants, in terms of adjacent land for expansion. Now I know Keshbhai mentioned about strategic plans for the timeline as well as amount for the further capacity addition. But my question is, without the upcoming capacity expansion with the land that we purchase, are we still continuing with our increasing volume by 10-15% over next 2-3 years on a yearly basis?
Okay, next 1.5 to 2 years, we'll definitely be increasing our volumes quarter on quarter, even without the existing land.
Perfect. Thank you. The next question, final question, in fact, and I really appreciate the way stage by you and as well as promoters picked up at around all-time low price of 120 onwards all the way up to 155 plus. Now, are you still looking at increasing your stake, or it was just to support and give confidence to all of us?
No. This is skin in the game, sir. The promoter sees the potential of the company to take it further.
Perfect. No, really appreciate, and that's a great thing, giving us confidence to be in together for longer period. So appreciate, all the very best, and thank you once again, Ashlesh Bhai, as well as Inderji.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Mr. Rahil S. from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So firstly, this the other segment is the lubricants and PIO. What is the outlook there? I mean, what is the current market scenario there? You said transformer oil is not doing as well as expected in the market. Any reason for that?
No, I never said transformer is not doing well in the market. I told there are delinquencies in debtor collection in terms of the transformer business because of the power sector it is associated with. And for the lubricant, obviously, you know, it is growing at a stable pace. I mean, with the advent of EV, obviously, automotive lubricant demand, you know, obviously would come down over the years. But for at least for industrial lubricant, obviously, the demand keep on rising with increasing.
Just to clarify, what Ashley Bhai meant is that transformer oils is a growing segment. With the increase in electrification, with the electricity around, it is something which lost a lot of working capital because of its status.
Okay, sir. And you said the other expenses were, you know, much lower this quarter, which is a good sign. But the major component which led to that was the changes in freight rate, correct? Which you say are pretty stable as of now. But let's say they turn volatile given the geopolitical condition. So how do you still expect to, you know, maintain or improve your gross margin?
Post this issue, you know, we have been, you know, in a position to pass on the increase in freight rates to our customers. And when, currently, we are doing lots of shipments on FOB, so freight is being arranged by the customers, you know. This has helped us in, you know, navigating the freight, sudden freight hikes, if any, you know, going forward.
You have that sort of arrangement with all your customers?
Majority of the customers. I cannot say all the customers, but majority of the customers.
Okay, so by and large, you will be able to, you know, keep your gross margins at this range of double digit at least. Can we expect that from the next quarter itself, from quarter four?
We are very optimistic about it.
Okay, and finally, sir, if you can guide on revenue front, any specific guidance you have, or what do you expect, like a growth CAGR for the next 2-3 years, you expect to achieve?
Our our annual budgeting for the next year is on the way since this year in February. So hopefully, maybe next fall it will be easier to give you much more clarity on, you know, what will be the guidance number for the year coming ahead.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Prateek Shah from Investing Alpha. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, hi. Good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is, the PHPO continues to be the largest contributor to the finished goods revenue. So, how should we think about the growth trajectory at this segment, you know, over the medium term?
See, the FMCG industry, as you are aware, I mean, PHPO is a combination. We are dependent on our customers, you know, to grow. I mean, that's a very basic line. But obviously, the FMCG industry obviously has not been growing so well over the last 2 years. But obviously, with the liquidity in the system. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, so with the GST reforms that has been there in the country, you know, by the Honorable Prime Minister, we are very hopeful that FMCG and the consumption demand, you know, specifically the rural areas and the urban areas will start coming up, you know, from this quarter. We are very hopeful, and with the discussions that we have with our customers, you know, they are also pretty optimistic that things will turn around earlier than expected. So we are very hopeful that the PHPO and the cosmetic industry will, you know, continue growing at the way in the near future, in at least, you know, a high single digit. Plus, we are also dependent on our exports for our PHPO business as well. So not only on domestic front but also export front, we are anticipating to, you know, increase our revenue from our overseas customers.
Okay, so are we seeing a higher growth, you know, growth from existing customer itself, or any incremental contribution from newer accounts, or any specific geographies that we are targeting?
It's a combination of both the things. I mean, obviously, like our existing customers, you know, are showing some growth. Plus, we are, you know, penetrating with our existing customers. So with some of our multinational companies, you know, currently we are only supplying to India market. Now we are supplying, you know, these multinational customers to our overseas market as well. So that's why we are penetrating with these customers and, you know, growing internally.
Okay. So one last question. So exports now form a meaningful share of our overall revenue. So which regions are you currently driving this growth?
No. It's overall the question. Municipal retail is about 45%. Overseas sales is about 45% of total turnover.
Right. So I'm just asking, like, which regions are currently driving this growth?
Obviously, it is Asia Pacific and some specific countries in Africa which are driving this growth.
Okay, and should we expect the export mix to remain broadly stable, or do you see certain markets getting faster over the next couple of years?
See, obviously, with the announcement of deal, you know, coming forward with the US, obviously, we may anticipate US would, you know, accelerate in terms of growth. But then with the EU trade is just done, we are still working on the numbers and the benefit that our customers will have in the European region, then, you know, I mean, the landscape would definitely change. You know, it's difficult for me to give you a number now, but we are anticipating the landscape to be changed very soon.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Vivek Gupta from Star Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yeah, hi sir. So the working capital level appears elevated in recent periods. Is this largely driven by business growth and inventory planning?
There has been a general increase of about 3-4 days in inventory and about 4-5 days in receivables. And but in the same breath, what was happening earlier was my creditors levels were coming down. This year we've been able to keep it at normal. So if I take all that, my cash conversion cycle this quarter is slightly better than the previous quarter, and we expect it to be around the same levels as this quarter.
Okay, so like, should we expect working capital intensity to moderate as volumes stabilize?
No, so just to answer your question specifically, we are not in that game where we stock inventories. We among the peers, we have the least amount of inventories. Hence, there is no impact of inventory gain or inventory loss. We are not very high on the transformer oil business. So my debtors will still stay within that 65-70 days. So I don't see any increase in the working capital with the increase in turnover. It will stay around the same days.
Okay. So are they, like you cater to both the large FMCG players and broad customer base. So like how do you, you know, balance scale customers versus the diversification?
Obviously, there are channels in place, you know, to take care of our small customers as well and large size customers as well. Obviously, you know, with international clients, the buying is more, you know, the buying is more specific, you know, there are budgeting in place, you know, there are quarterly forecasting in place, you know, which helps us in planning better. This way, you know, it's easier for us, you know, to penetrate with these customers and grow with the customers.
Okay, so like just a follow up on this, like does onboarding large customers typically translates into multi product opportunities over time?
Yes, it does.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Rajesh Agrawal from Money Ore. Please go ahead.
So my question is the business sequentially we have not done so well, quarter yearly we have done well. Is the business seasonal in nature? That is the first question.
There's a bit of cyclical impact.
I mean, if you see our revenue quarter on quarter, it is primarily, you know, range bound. I mean, there's not a huge volatility like say 500 crores in one quarter and 1,000 crores in another quarter. It's not like that. It's still range bound, but yes, I mean, post monsoon, I mean, during monsoon, the business is a little bit low, but I mean, quarter three and quarter four are better numbers, better performing quarters for us historically. We are looking for
And the next question, is the demand from FMCG for the green products like white oil or personal products, that is a good demand driver? Because I was reading a report by Nielsen are our products using for hair cream and cosmetics?
So what is your question?
My question is our product being used for hair cream, main products and cosmetic products?
I think the application of our white oil is across various industries. For cosmetic industry, yes, it's used in manufacturing of creams, lotions, and stuff like that. In pharmaceutical as well, it's used in manufacturing of your creams, ointments, and so on. And also, you know, like various, like for example, say various manufacturers are there, like the Tiger or Big Paper and so on. This is an application for products.
So how is the demand holding there? Are you seeing demand, good demand from there?
I mean, it's not a healthy demand, but demand is at least better than last year.
Last year. And going forward, you think the demand will come from there?
We are anticipating demand of things happening, as just highlighted in our previous discussions.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants who wish to ask a question, you may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Mr. Rohit from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, Autumn. I just wanted to understand what is the peak the revenue that we can do from our current capacity of 6 lakhs per liter?
The peak?
Revenue.
Yeah, so 6 lakh kiloliters. There is another 30% of 2,25,000 KL which can be increased when the Sharjah plant comes onto stream and becomes close to about 100%. So that is the highest we can do right now. With the existing installed capacity. So that's about another 60,000 KL.
So you're saying 6,60,000 is what you can do at peak? I mean, if you can use...
No, not 6,60,000. No. Uh-huh. 5 lakhs is the 6 lakhs is the total installed capacity. So
right.
another 30% increase 30% of 20, so 60,000 will come up by the next 2 years or so.
In terms of revenue, sir, how should we look at it? I know prices are fluctuating, but just generally, at current prices, what can we do as the peak revenue?
7,800 rupees per liter, 7,800 rupees or 7,500 rupees per kiloliter.
Okay, got it. And hence, maybe you're looking at expanding the capacity. And on this export, so while exports are a big contributor in terms of revenue, but I also wanted to just check, like, over the last 3-4 years, we've been now range bound around that 140-150 crores. For this year, we'll probably hit around 170-180 crores. But in exports, like, what is the, what do you think can be the potential? Can this be like 60-70% of revenues? Let's say 3-4 years out, or it will be more steady and the share of revenues will be around these levels only.
So we probably exports to grow up by another 5-10%. It will not be 60-70% of total revenues. It could be 50-55%. That's what we see in the short medium term.
And are there better margins and better return on capital wise, they are better or they are similar?
Slightly better. Exports get a slightly better margins.
And working capital also is similar as well in terms of your receivables, etc.
Yeah. Receivables is around the 60 odd days. But exports in working capital is slightly better because we work on a lot of advance and against LCs. So, debtors is slightly better managed over there.
Okay. And just last question. In terms of your product profile, is there anything that you're doing to sort of improve your product profile or differentiate, let's say, maybe only very specific formulations for a specific customer or a specific suite of products? Is there something that you're doing there, or you want to talk about something on that line, or?
Definitely we are, in close interaction with a few of our multinational customers, and we are formulating a specific product for them, but this is still under R&D trials because of the NDAs. It's difficult for me to, give more further information, but there are some new products which are being worked with the customers.
Okay. And at this point of time, what portion of revenue would be such products or?
So, these are the new products which are under development, right? So, there will be no such revenue generated as of now from this product.
Okay. What I wanted to understand was, sir, typically if the products are differentiated or if there is a very lot of R&D that we have done with the customer and we are closely sort of tied in with them, then it will be, probably the sole supplier or one of the sole suppliers or one of the key suppliers for them. Right now, do we have such revenue in the system? What would be the share of that?
There are a few products, yes, where we are sole suppliers, to some certain specific customers. The revenue, in the overall queue of things would be far minimum, but if you ask on the FMCG point of view, obviously, with some specific product would be in the range of 70% of the total revenue on the PHCO product.
Got it. Okay. Thank you very much, sir. This is all I had. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Ayushi Gupta for closing comments.
I would like to thank the management for taking the time out for the conference call today and also thank all the participants. If you have any queries, please feel free to contact us. We are MUFG Intime Private Limited, Investor Relation Advisors for Gandhar Oil Refinery India Limited. Thank you so much.
On behalf of Gandhar Oil Refinery India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your line.